Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Having a beautiful day, brother.
Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Blessed in the Lord.
Well, praise God. It is getting warmer around here. It's nice and really, really hot lately.
Yeah, we're all dripping sweat in the studio.
And, you know, it's one of those things. It's always a good reminder to make sure you're right with Jesus. You'd hate to eventually be as the rich man, and actually it'll be worse.
Sometimes eventually. When I do messages on hell, I have the deacons turn up the heat before everybody gets there.
Yeah.
Not a true story, just
no, not true. But nonetheless, it is nice and warm. I don't know where you guys are coming from, but over here in California, I guess Death Valley got up to 130 degrees.
Yeah, not far from
yesterday.
Us either.
Yeah, not too far. So yeah, it's abnormally warm. And nonetheless, we got an abnormally warm topic to discuss today. Something really, really important and near and dear to our hearts, and that is regarding our life in Christ. And not only that, what do we as believers owe to him who bought us? I think that's something really, really important for us to discuss and to talk about. And Joe actually brought forth this topic, and that exact name is, what do we owe the Lord? And I think that's a great question to ask. So with that, not much of an intro, but what do we owe the Lord?
Yeah, it depends how you look at it. In one sense, in regard to obtaining our salvation, we could never pay him back, even, you know, amen, 1 cent or one drop of blood or anything. It's a free gift. So he doesn't, you know, demand that, you know, we pay back our salvation. That's already paid for, paid in full. Amen. And so that's, we rejoice in that. So somebody could misunderstand, you know, giving our whole lives to the Lord or owing our lives to him. Nevertheless, we do owe our lives to him, not in the sense of a payment, so we pay off our salvation, but in the sense that we belong to him, you know, in the sense that we were made for him. He made us and he redeemed us and so forth. So this came in the heels of doing that, you know, that Chad, last week you said, hey, let's do a thing on tithing, you know, and because a lot of people think that they have to tithe and give 10%, a lot of churches put people under the law. So we addressed the tithing issue. And toward the tail end of that, you know, I said, you know what? The last thing I want to do is hurt churches, godly pastors and churches out there who are seeking to do the Lord's will. If they're teaching that their congregants must tithe or they're under the curse of Malachi chapter 3, well, then they're not New Testament churches, because that's not a New Testament doctrine. They're putting them under the law of Moses. So we're not talking about those guys.
Yeah, what if you said you wanted to take people out and hopefully you had this thing that stopped people from entering if they didn't drop off their tithe, and you wish that you could just take them out and take some Uzi to them and have the deacons do that?
Sounds like, Creflo Dollar, right?
Creflo Dollar.
In fact, we played
that
last week,
clip,
right?
Yeah, so a lot of people were pretty surprised about that one.
Yeah, that is satanic, you know? And but I'm talking about true godly Christian churches where they fear and love the Lord and they're spreading the gospel and their sincere assembly is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. We don't want to discourage the congregants, those folks that belong to those types of churches, from giving to those ministries. So the last thing we want to do is send a message that it's not important to give. Obviously, I mean, right here at Blessed Hope Chapel, we depend, the Lord uses, people uses finances. That's part of the way he set it up. There's a lot in the scripture about that. And Good Fight Ministries, we have a lot of really, we have support, you know. I mean, of course, I mean, we were just talking, half an hour before we went on, and how nobody here in Good Fight, we've got only a few guys that are full-time. I think the three of us that are full-time,
right?
Yeah,
you're listening to all three.
Yeah, yes. All three of us. We've got a couple guys that, you know, do a little bit here and there part-time. But we'd love, I mean, we all work. I mean, I started early this morning. I won't be done until later tonight, you know.
And you were up last night until at least 1 or 1:30 when I left your house.
Yeah.
And your wife was counseling when we left.
Yeah, that's right. And I ministered a lot of people because we're having the church in the backyard
right
now. Yeah,
it was huge. It was awesome.
So, yeah. And so ministry starts, you know, and it happens. And There's no complaints, you know. You know, praise God.
Amen.
I'll pour ourselves up as drink offerings unto the Lord, you know. Although we'd love to see more people come on staff. We'd love to have, I could have had Marvel done a long time ago, Marvel in D.C., but we only have so many workers, you know. So, of course, ministry could use help and finances and so forth. And we have a really bad problem with regard to making those desires and needs known. But we, from time to time, we'll bring it up. And we're a family. This our podcast family, our live stream family as well. It's just a beautiful family. So we'll share those needs later. But right now, I want to talk about whether it's a local assembly you belong to, and there's a lot of people that listen to us and live stream that don't have local assemblies, and that's how they give, you know. But we wanted to let people know, no, you're not under that. You have to give 10%, or you're under a curse, like is falsely being taught. But like I said, we didn't want people to leave with the impression. So I gave a few scriptures, a couple of admonitions at the very end. Hey, we still need to support ministry, of course, you know. So I thought, you know what? Let's talk about how we really owe our whole lives to the Lord. I'm not talking about just, you know, financially. I'm talking about every inch of our being, whole heart, soul, mind, strength. And we should be giving everything to the Lord. And we should be serving the Lord. I mean, we live a very, very short life in respect to eternity, you know. If I was to stretch out a rope 1,000 miles long, your life compared to eternity would be not even a thread thick of that rope, because eternity is forever. And our lives are so short compared to eternity. And we need to make sure they count for Jesus, and that we're winning souls, and that we're living for Him and shining the light, and loving the Lord God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbors, ourselves. So when it comes to giving, we're all to give, and we're to be prayerful, and we're to be wise. And it's interesting, because we have to fight against this thing called greed. It's part of our fleshly nature, and we need to die to self, in that nature which wants to hoard everything, wants to miser everything, and wants to live for self and feed the flesh. We need to make sure that we're serving the Lord. And that the Bible says not to just consider your own interest, but the interest of others. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now, that's not the message you're getting from the prosperity teachers or Joel Osteen and these guys, you know, that's right. But he goes on to say, and he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do?'" Notice all the eyes in this. Reminds me a lot of Isaiah 14, where Satan says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." He says, "What will I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things.'" He's not talking to God, he's talking to himself. "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Like today, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Mm-hmm. "But God said to him," now you don't read, "and he lived merrily, happily after, you know, forever and ever." You don't read that. You read, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you.'" See, this guy projected, he let him live anymore. This guy's parole was over. Okay, you've lived a life of selfishness. Now you've just planned out the rest of your life. You know, God knows where you're going. He knows your future. He knows you're going to live for yourself. You know, why does he let you breathe any more of his air, you know? But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself." Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? "This is how it will be with everyone," says Jesus. He applies it now. "This is how it will be with everyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." So we're to be rich toward God. And we're to not hoard up things for ourselves, our futures, and think of just ourselves and talk about ourselves, what we're going to do for ourselves. We're supposed to say, "How can I glorify the Lord? How can I magnify his name? How can I be a light to the world and shine the light on the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I get his gospel out? How can I, you know, win souls to Christ?" So sometimes the question is asked, you know, okay, well, you know, we know we're not to give, you know, how much do I give then if it comes to financially? You know, and we dealt with that episode with Creflo Dollar as being a prime example of saying he wished he could take an Uzi out with other congregants and a meter would go off over people's heads saying, "Thief, thief, thief," when somebody doesn't give 10%, they can blow them all the wing, take them outside the church and shoot them with Uzis and bury them and go back and have church. That's wicked, you know?
Said that pretty quick, but that was pretty wicked.
Yeah, especially when you look at his lifestyle too. He's living off of the money he's squeezing out of all these people.
And everything.
Yeah, it's reprehensible. So at the same time, the scriptures do tell us to give. And we want to talk about that question, and not just giving of our money. So a lot of times we see the word give and people think it means financially. And sometimes there's finance, oftentimes the Bible talks about giving financially, but oftentimes it's talking about giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving of our gifts, giving of our talent, giving of our resources, and so forth. So it's important that we understand that it's not wrong to say tithes when you're like, hey, you know, somebody goes, oh, they said they're taking tithes and offerings. Well, it's wrong to say we're taking mandatory tithes. Tithe just means 10%. A lot of people give 10%. They choose to give 10%. Some say, well, hey, we're not under the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ. If they gave 10%, we saw they gave probably around 22, 23% in the law of Moses. But if they gave 10% then, how much more should we give now? A lot of people think that way. I don't give 10% because I've given 10% most of my life. There's times I'm going to be very honest. There's times where I haven't given 10%, but most of our lives by far and away, my wife and I have exceeded in giving 10%. But it's important to note that we don't do that because of the law of Moses. I follow an example. And Jacob gave 10%. And Jacob, we read in Genesis 8, 28, 22, and after he's given this vision of Bethel of all the Lord was going to give him, and it says, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Now, where do you guys think, and I touched on this and we dealt with tithing isn't mandatory. Where do you think Jacob got the idea of giving a tenth of everything he had?
Probably from Abraham.
Probably from Abraham, his granddaddy, right? Because Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek, and this is before the law, and Jacob is before the law as well, and Abraham is a covenant of faith, and Melchizedek was a picture of Jesus. It doesn't say he gave for the rest of his life a tenth to Melchizedek, though. Okay, but however, we're seeing that Jacob is saying, I'm going to give everything, tenth of everything that the Lord gives me. That the idea there is henceforth for the future goes to the Lord. How that worked out in his life, there wasn't a temple, it wasn't under the law, we don't know exactly, but that was his commitment before the Lord. But there's something very profound. I believe we can say, hey, I'm going to give 10% to the Lord. And by the way, I don't say, hey, brother, hey, sister, we should be giving 10% because Abraham gave 10%. Or to Melchizedek, or because Jacob gave 10% of everything the Lord gave to him, he gave 10%. And since this is before the law, this is an example that we're to follow. No, I don't say we have to do that either. So for me personally, that has governed most of my giving throughout my Christian walk, you know? And I could honestly say I've often given more than 10%. In fact, I hope we're all giving more than 10% of our lives. I hope we're giving all of our lives, okay? Our time's precious, you know? Talent's precious.
And I think one of the things when you start delving into this, especially when you talk to non-believers, and they'll use that as an excuse, and then eventually you realize, oh, it's just an idol, and an excuse is what it is. Is because that thing, that money is your idol. I remember talking to family members, oh, I would never, you know, they just want your money. I'm like, I've met a lot of pastors. I don't think any of them are like, oh, we just need your money. You have to, the ones that I've met, at least some, obviously we've played enough.
Well, you haven't gone to the prosperity churches.
Yeah, I've never gone to the prosperity churches at all. And it's like, you know what, guys, but where is your heart lying? Like, why do you actually, why is that the big thing? You're like, yeah, I can't come be with the body of believers and hang out because, you know, they ask for money. You know, it's just a ridiculous excuse to me. I think it's ridiculous.
Especially when you look at the context that we're to be in fellowship. We're not to forsake the fellowship and ourselves together. Giving is a huge part of the New Testament teaching. And we will have a teaching later on down the line as to why we're to give and who the money is to go to help and so forth. The needy and ministries and so forth, the scriptures teach.
That's one of the reasons we know they met on the first day of the week, right?
Absolutely. That's right. Regularly giving, and that was a great model in the Corinthian church to help the poor. But money came in over and over again that Paul stressed over and over again, not just for the poor, but also to help the ministries, you know, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I don't want to bury that one.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? One of the most radical, Mark is like the action book of the Gospels, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's written like a tract for the Romans to believe in the Lord, and also for Jews, but it's like he just hits heavy points. He doesn't give a whole lot of the teachings of Jesus. He gives a lot of teachings, but he doesn't give the long, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, stuff like that. But Mark is pretty profound in his own right because the Lord inspired it. But Mark 12 is very, very, very profound, brothers and sisters, when you think about what the Lord is calling you to give in regard to your life. And that's really what I want to emphasize here. He wants our lives. We owe our lives to him, not as a payment back for salvation. You already have your salvation as a free gift. but we owe our lives to him because we belong to him by the fact that he created us for him. We exist for him. Amen. And Mark 12 has a few different things going on that are really heavy that kind of build toward we belong to him. And we're supposed to be giving everything to him. And I want you to think of how profound this chapter is, and hopefully it'll affect your walk. Tony, Chad, myself, we all want y'all to know Jesus, just be sold out for him, you know?
Yep.
And the more you realize how much he loves you, what he created you for, and what he did for you on the cross, the more you'd be like, of course I owe him everything. How would I not want to live every second of my life to give him glory? And there's no greater joy, and I think we all know this, there's no greater joy than living for the Lord.
Amen.
I was just ministering to a lot of people actually yesterday. And just before that, I was talking to some people about, man, it's just so neat to see so much of our fellowship fired up. What enemy means for evil and what's going on with COVID has really fired up our fellowship. Yeah. I mean, yesterday we probably had 75, 80 people at our Bible study in my backyard. And almost all these people seem like they're just on fire and sharing and encouraging. Yeah. And it was like the service plus the time of fellowship together, it was several hours long, you know? And after the service was over, it was another 2, 3, 4 hours that a lot of people stayed, you know? So it's just interesting to me. These are people that just love the Lord. And the beauty of it, I was telling somebody, I go, it's neat because you're seeing a lot of these people fired up for Jesus, but they're fired up for him. And they're not like, oh, I owe my life to the Lord. Just sad, bummed out. They're excited. They're joyful that they have the opportunity to serve the Lord. And it's just a beauty in that, right? Well, in Mark 12, you see that Jesus expects that and more from us as far as an attitude. In Mark 12, 13, it says, then they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. They came and said to him, teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Kind of interesting. They knew he taught. They admitted that, right? Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? So they're trying to disarm him. Like, we're not trying to trap you, are we, Jesus? We know you teach the way of so good, truth, yeah. Right? And the Pharisees and Herodians, these guys are always trying to trap Jesus. Shall we pay or shall we not pay? And now they knew if he said pay the poll tax, that people would say, he's worshiping a false god. God said, have no gods before him, and Caesar thinks he's a god, and so forth. And if he says, don't pay, well, that could be, his days could be numbered, right?
Yeah.
Because he'd be considering starting an insurrection because he had a pretty big following, right? So it's just interesting. It says, but he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at. They brought one, and he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. Now Jesus said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now before I get to the next statement, this is one of Jesus' most famous statements.
Yeah.
Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Meaning Caesar, you know, his men, they unearth this metal and they put his face on it and they're, you know, moving this in circulation as currency and it's got his face on it. If you're using Caesar's money, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And now that at that point, it's like, oh, we got him. He's telling us to put Caesar and to look at Caesar and render to Caesar. He must think that, you know, he's pitting Caesar against God. But then you look at his next statement, man. And Jesus always says, not a really good thing or a great thing or an excellent thing. He always says the most perfect thing that you could possibly say. Amen, because he's God of the flesh.
Amen.
He says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they were amazed at him because in one fell swoop, he says, hey, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but guess what? Render to God what is God's. Now, where this passage right here is profound. What Jesus does here is profound because these coins, they have the icon, you know, the image of Caesar, give them to Caesar. What's going on here is really heavy because render to God what is God's. And obviously their minds would think, okay, his image is stamped on the coins, give it to Caesar. Render to God what is God's. I mean, where's God's image? I mean, what, we're made in God's image. Our whole being, I mean, we're created in God's image. So he's basically saying, give everything. Give the coins to Caesar, you know, these little denarii.
Give your life to God, yeah.
But give your entire life to God. Yeah. And it's really profound. And we owe him everything. Render to God what is God's, because we belong to him. It's the right thing to do. We're created in the image of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, writes the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brethren, that's to all you brothers and sisters as well, by way of application and extension, by the mercies of God, based on the first 11 chapters of Romans, whereby he expounded upon the grace and mercy of God in saving them when we should be doomed, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Some translations have your reasonable service, because it's reasonable, but it's your spiritual service, and do not be conformed to this world. Because the Bible says, you know, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. He's talking about becoming a friend of the evil world system and becoming like it, one with it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So it's interesting. We don't just belong to him because of creation, though. I mean, that's enough. Just the fact that he created us in his image should be enough for us to bow before him and live for him, but also because of redemption, because he gave himself for us. I mean, how many times do we sing about loving God and worshiping him because he's our creator? All the time. But you know what we sing about even more? Loving him and serving him and following him and adoring him because of what he did for us in redemption.
Amen.
There's a lot to be said in the book of Revelation. A few times you read about God the creator and praise him because he's the creator. But you know what really gets heavy is when you're in like Revelation 5. And all of creation just bows before him because he's the only one that could open, the Lord Jesus, he's the only one that could open the scroll because he's the one that gave his life for us. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and that you are not your own? Then verse 20, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And what price? 1 Peter chapter 1. Not with corruptible things like silver and gold.
Precious.
The precious blood of the unspotted lamb. Amen. So then you keep reading in Mark after this whole teaching about how we're supposed to, we're creating God's image. We're supposed to give everything to the Lord. You keep reading. Then you get to Mark chapter 12, a few verses later, 28 through 34. Look what you read. One of the scribes came to him and heard them arguing. And recognizing that he answered them well, he asked him, speaking of asking Jesus, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I love Mark's account because we see all four of those parts of us. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, says Jesus. The scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one and that there is no one else besides him, and to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. That's pretty powerful. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Now notice this comes on the heels of Jesus teaching what? You know, render unto God what is God's as his image bearer. Now, I mean, when I think of what Jesus demands of my life, what he calls me to, the full surrender. I think of these passages, and these passages are back to back, you know, almost. I mean, they're in the narrative. It's like, wow, they just build upon one another. But it gets even heavier because a few verses later, we end in verse 34, jump down about 8-9 verses to verse 43. And this is just after Jesus gave God's command to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then we read this, but a poor widow came and put in two very small emphasis, copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. That's nothing, hardly. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, this is amazing to me, you know? I mean, think about this, you know? I mean, this is like, would seem like risky giving, you know, if the Lord was not in control and she wasn't trusting the Lord. But it's interesting, why this blows me away is this widow was not required to tithe even to God under the law. You know that? She had no requirement. She didn't own any land, you know? So she wasn't required to tithe under the law to the treasury. But she gave out of her love for God. And she gave in a way that people would think, wow, that's risky. Not for her, she said, because she knew the Lord. She trusted the Lord. And what blows me away about this is who's watching her? Does she realize who's watching her? And do we realize he's watching us? And he sees when we give, then we care for others, when we help others, when we bless others. And the Lord looks at our hearts, you know? And I love it. You know, I love it when it says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I love it when I see my grandchildren, or even my children, but they're a little older now, right? So when I see my grandchildren, being miserly and not sharing with each other, you know? And most of those are Chad's children, by the way. Not picking on them because of being miserly. They're great grandchildren, but not my great grandchildren, guys. I'm not that old yet. Give me a few more years there. But they're wonderful grandchildren. But I love them so much. But when I see, you know, one of them being selfish or just kind of, it's mine. And, you know, it breaks your heart. You know, you're like, you know? But then when you see them giving and sharing and going out of their way, it's the best. It's the most beautiful thing, you know? And they all do that. They all have that in them, you know, when they and they're to God. And you just see them going out of their way and say, hey, you want one? Just to bless them. And it's just, and I'm like, wow, it blesses my heart. And I think that must really bless the Lord when we take our time.
It's like Matthew 25, you know, you do the least of these, my brethren, when you gave somebody drink or clothed them.
Well, you've done at least these, my brethren, you've done
unto me. Yeah, that's what it reminds me of,
That's right. So he doesn't only see it when it's to a brother, he feels it in a sense. I'm not talking about literally feels it, but it blesses his heart.
Yeah. You know? No, it's interesting. I just remember last night, my son has a really weird thing about lizards. He has to catch every lizard he sees.
Yeah, I got that from Grandpa.
And he did at Grandpa's house. But there was a lady, and he's like, do you want to hold? And I thought, this lady's a little older. I'm like, there's no way she wants to hold a lizard. And she was so excited, and her husband's like, you have no idea. She loves lizards. And she started telling him all about the lizard. So I was like, oh, look at what you got out of it, because you were giving. You know, it was very sweet.
Wow. I got some competition. She probably knew more than I did about that
lizard.
I was
really surprised. She explained to him how, you know, it's a female blue belly. So.
Oh, I couldn't tell you that. I guess it's the light color. Learn something new, you know? Their blue bellies are pretty cool, though. Yeah. So it's interesting. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul writes, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. In other words, you have to give 10% or you're going to burn and be under a curse.
Yeah.
But God, it goes on to say, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's what he wants. And when I recognize, wow, look what he did for me. I shouldn't even be able to breathe today. I should be doomed. I should be condemned. I can't believe I'm even saved. And then you just want to give, and you want to give cheerfully because it all belongs to the Lord. We're only giving what he gave us first, right? So I think it's very important. Then it gets really heavy because we're never more like the Lord than when we're giving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Luke chapter 6, Jesus talks about loving your enemies and giving to those who ask. And everyone who asks you, whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand back. Treat others the same way you want to be treated and so forth. He goes on, he says a lot of things which we don't have time to go through them all, but it's really heavy because he says to them, he literally tells them, but love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And listen to this, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So I'm saying, God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we give and we love our enemies and we become so much like the Lord, and as Christians, if we're following Jesus, that's exactly what we ought to be doing. And it's absolutely important that we recognize that we do belong to him and that we don't let greed take us over. In fact, the scriptures are very, very clear about the fact that we read, and I'm just going to read this to you guys. Each man should give what he has decided in his own heart, but it goes on to say he loves a cheerful giver. But in Colossians 3:5, it says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So we have to make sure. We're told that idolatry in the New Testament, one of the definitions is greed. And that's why Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. God and mammon, you're going to love one, they hate the other, hate the one, love the other. You have to put Jesus first, brothers and sisters. So we want to encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve God, not mammon, and give unto the work of the Lord, and to the ministry of the Lord, and to the poor, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.